So following, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. We come to perhaps the more difficult part. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Jesus went on to say, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all those in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I think when you say that something is for mature audiences, I don't think that means what we think it means when you see that, because the things that are labeled mature audiences are not that mature. But I think for us as a mature audience, we need to acknowledge the fact that what we teach our kids is not exactly right. The mythology of do right and you will be rewarded really isn't always true. For often, if you do right, you won't be rewarded. You'll be punished. You'll be cast out. If you look at history and you think about Socrates, Jesus, Martin Luther King, you do right and you may be poisoned in Athens, crucified in Jerusalem, or shot in Memphis. Blessed are you, though, when you are persecuted for doing what is right. I struggle with that word blessing. That's not the kind of blessings we pray for. When we share our joys and concerns, really the hope is that God will work in some way so that those things that are now concerns will be joys. We want God to do what we can't do. God, this bothers us, and we would like it to be better. Freud said that we spend most of our lives seeking pleasure and avoided pain, and since about two-thirds of our experiences can be somewhat painful, we spend most of our life trying to avoid pain. And so by saying a blessing on somebody, we want their concerns to be joys, their pains to be pleasures, or at least not painful. But Jesus flips that upside down and said, blessed are you when all these things that you think aren't blessings are happening to you. Blessed are you when you mourn, because only when you mourn are you going to be comforted. That doesn't sell, but it does preach, because it gets to the core of where we struggle. A long time ago in the Garden of Eden, we were told that a couple of people had a real problem with God. God said, hey, you might die. They didn't like that a whole lot, and this serpent came along and said, hey, if you eat of this, you will be godlike, and you will be able to know what is good and what is bad, and be able to tell the difference. And yet here Jesus totally flips it and takes what is bad and says, this is a blessing. I struggle with that. Tornadoes hit south of us. 18 people was the account that I heard of who died. And I also heard of one particular two deaths that occurred when a mobile home was hit by a tornado and it moved the home roughly 100 yards right in the middle of the highway. A few years ago, tornadoes hit Murfreesboro near Nashville, and I had somebody call me and say, was your house hit? And I said, no, that was away from us. And he said, praise God. You ever think about the converse of that? If God blessed you by your house not getting hit, what did God do for those people? Did God curse them? That's the other side of that coin. And I have to tell you that our daughter, who is signed up for the Peace Corps and going off to Morocco, is that a blessing that she wants to do that? She went on her first mission trip when she was not even a year old, and I remember driving that church van and running through a red light at midnight trying to get her to go to sleep because I put her in the car seat. Fortunately, there was nobody out, but That was her first one. And trip after trip, she went with us as we took youth different places. And the worst one that I've experienced is a tornado. A little boy during the storm lost his whole house, including his mother. And we didn't know what to do because it's not like a hurricane where you can just rip out drywall. Caleb spent 2 hours pulling pennies out of the mud because he had a penny collection and hoped that it might matter. Blessed are you when you're not hit by a tornado? What are you when you're hit? What are you when the doctor comes back with bad news? Praise God, you were hit by a tornado. It just doesn't work right. But I think some of it goes back to our psyche in that we want to, like Adam and Eve, be able to label bad and good. And pain, our pain must be bad and must be wrong because it wouldn't hurt so bad. Let me play a game with you. I know the scouts are coming in a couple of weeks. And so it made me think about a little, you know, one of those little campfire stories that we told that kind of really exemplifies this pretty well. And so for this purpose, this side, you guys say, that's good. Okay, go, that's good.
That's good.
Yeah, like you mean it. That's good.
That's good.
And then you guys are, that's bad. You figure that out? That's bad. Yeah, there you go. Okay, so a pilot goes up on a solo flight in his airplane. And before he left, he made sure the airplane was in working condition and that everything was working order.
That's good.
Yeah, right? But there was a kink in the motor's design which the pilot couldn't see, and the motor gave out in the air.
That's good.
He decided to abandon the plane and found a parachute.
That's good.
He jumped out of the plane, but the parachute wouldn't open.
That's good.
There was a haystack. And he headed as best as he could toward the haystack and then saw there was a pitchfork pointed upward in the haystack.
That's good.
He missed the pitchfork.
That's good.
But he also missed the haystack. Okay, so just so we balance this out, you guys be that's good. Here we go.
That's good.
And you guys, that's bad.
That's bad.
So a friend was driving to his church in Michigan in January, going to church. Yeah, right. But the roads were icy and his car slid and he crashed into a tree. Along came another member of the church, but he slid on the same spot and crashed into the man's car. Then came a policeman, but he slid into the cars and crashed into them and my friend got hurt. The ambulance came and after it crashed into the cars, it took my friend to the hospital. But they said his leg was broken and my friend would have to have surgery. But he fell in love with his nurse. And when he got out of the hospital, they flew to Vegas and got married. Yeah, maybe. Yesterday, she, her 6 kids, 2 dogs, 3 cats, and a goldfish and a gerbil moved into his 2-bedroom apartment. And I don't know, yeah. That's just hard to say. But that's the way we want to file it out. Okay, we put, you know, good in this compartment, bad in that compartment. If I'm having pain and struggles, that's bad. But then you can't really tell because there are things that work out good from bad and bad from good. You know, there are people who win the lottery who really aren't that happy. And so you're wondering, how can that be? Because it's a good thing, so shouldn't you be happy? And there are people who, Bob Britt, who we saw last night on stage after coming through cancer, we sat together in Nashville, and he talked about how much more laid back he is and doesn't take things seriously and let them bother him. And that's never been Bob. Bob's always been that guy. Now he's more that guy. And he talked about how he appreciated life, and we would sit on the porch, and he would listen to the birds. Who knew there were birds? It's tough because that's not the way it works. And Jesus says, blessed are you when you sort of get that. And that's to be the people that we're called to be, but that's not who I want to be. Because we label, how was dinner? Well, dinner was good. Hey, what kind of day at school did you have? Yeah, I had a good day. Or I'll go home and, what happened? Carrie, say, did you have a good day? No, something bad happened. What happened? Well, I hit Abby's car when I backed out. Yeah, that's true. Bob Kendall came over to get boxes. Guess who else hit Abby's car? Twice in the same day. Go figure. We have a very narrow driveway. It's wrong. It's bad. But that's the way we want to label things. And we say to our kids, why can't you be good? It means stand in line. Fall in order. Don't raise a ruckus. Good, bad. Oh, wouldn't it be paradise if it was like that? Well, actually, no. That's when everything got messed up. Life's not that way. And so we want to have that God-like knowledge. But if you're looking at Jesus and the Beatitudes, which nobody ever quotes, I put the quote on the bulletin. It's a great quote. Everybody wants the Ten Commandments in front of a courthouse, but nobody wants the Beatitudes anywhere because you can't make sense out of them. You can't control people with the Beatitudes. You can't even get self-control with the Beatitudes. You just learn to kind of go with the flow, not knowing if it's good or bad or not. Consider Jesus. I mean, he comes into Jerusalem. People are screaming, Hosanna. That's good, right? The leaders of the day don't like it. The Roman authorities, they start getting anxious and nervous. And well, that's bad. And he gets away and he goes to a safe place. That's good. Leaders don't know where to find him. That's good. But then one of his followers betrays him. Well, that's bad. And then he knows about it ahead of time, so he could run away. That's good. But Jesus had choices, and he chose not to be that kind of guy that runs away or that picks up the sword. And so he gives his soon-to-be betrayer something to eat and lets him go. I mean, nice and all, but isn't that bad? And he still has time to get away, but he doesn't. Instead, he goes to a nearby garden and prays. But he doesn't hear God's voice. The same voice he heard as beloved, he doesn't hear. And he waits for them. And his followers resist because they love him, but they are told not to. It's confusing. They accuse him and beat him. The one who told them to love one another is brutally, brutally treated and crucified and murdered and killed. It's the horrible of horribles. It's the most terrible thing that we can imagine. And just to make it more confusing, what do we call that day? Good Friday. How do we not figure that out? It's Good Friday. On the Sunday following the tomb, they go to see and to take care of Jesus' body because, see, they know good and bad, and it's bad, and all they can expect is bad. They can't expect good, which is why when he rises up, and depending on which story you read, it's either, you know, a gardener or an angel or somebody says, hey, don't worry about it. Just like he told you, he's risen. And they go, and run away. Why? You can't deal with the world where you can't put things on one side of the room or the other. We can't deal with the world better that he stayed dead and we think we make sense of it all than to have him just loose running around. See, the word they didn't have. Maybe. Maybe. Good, bad, maybe. You don't know. What you thought you wanted may not be what you wanted, and what you thought would be the worst thing that could happen may be the best. Maybe. Who would have ever thought maybe could be a holy word? But it is. Because you just don't know, and you don't get to know. And if you're all so cocksure of yourself, well, guess what? Life will beat that out of you for long anyway, so you might as well go ahead and learn maybe now. Because that's the way it works. See, in the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth in chapter 1, not the Eden part, but the other part, God has the opposites, the dark and the light, and he says, hey, I like that. That's good. Why is it good? Because God said so. God creates the sea, the chaotic sea, which in the writers of that day, that was one of the most terrifying things of all. We're not talking about you get on a carnival cruise and you go out and you get all the soft serve ice cream you could possibly want. We're talking about a pretty scary place. You're in a wooden boat and the waves come up. It's over, buddy. So the sea was scary and the land was safe. So you got chaos and you got safety, and God calls them both good. You got the wild animals and the tame ones that... And they're both good. There's a certain peace in the wild things. But you know why they're good? Because God said so. Really, that's the reason. It is whatever God says it is. And God won't be determined by our labels. You may label somebody an enemy. You may label somebody on the outside, but God doesn't necessarily care what you label people. It's because God says so. My favorite story just kind of sums it up for me. There's a farmer, and the farmer has a son, and they have one horse. Horse is used to pull the plow and plow the fields, and the horse gets out and runs away. And all his neighbors come, and they say to him, they say, "Oh, you lost your horse. That's bad." The farmer says, "Maybe. Only God can say." Well, that horse comes back and brings a wild stallion with it. And they say, "Hey, you went from no horses to two horses. That's good." Farmer goes, "Maybe. Only God can say." Well, his son is trying to break that horse, tame it down, and he ends up falling off and breaking his hip. Hip doesn't heal right, walks with a limp, has to use a little cane. Neighbors go, "Oh, your son, his hip, not healing up. Now he's walking funny. That's bad." He goes, "Yeah, maybe. Only God can say." Well, the soldiers come through town, and they're conscripting soldiers, and they're taking all the young and healthy men. And so when they come by the farmer's place to get his son's not healthy, so they don't take him. And so his neighbors come over, and they go, "Hey, the soldiers, they didn't take your son. That's good, right?" He goes, "Maybe. Only God can say, but I think that's pretty good. Maybe." I mean, if we're going to talk about death as if it's a doorway to life, then bad is certainly a doorway to good. Pain can be a source of the pathway to happiness. It's not the great, terrible thing to avoid, because it really isn't up for us to say. We're in a world where in a certain town I lived in, when they built the church, they measured the steeple and they compared it and made sure it was a good foot higher than the Baptist steeple. That's messed up, y'all. What you have right now, what we are here together, this is good. This is good. Because we're here, we're together, and God is among us. And it's not good because I say so. It's good because God says so. And anything else coming is possible. Because that's not the way things are in our kingdom. That's the way things are in God's kingdom. Because anything can be good simply because God declares it to be so. So as people who are loved simply because God declares it to be so, go out and let others know that they are loved, and then look for God's miraculous work as we seek the kingdom of God for all God's children everywhere. Let us pray. God, we would be your people. Help us to lighten up, to let go of the load of carrying the world on our shoulders, to stop trying to be Atlas, but instead, oh God, be your people and trust that you have the world in your hands so we don't have to. And what we need to carry is your love, your hope into the world. You called us to be salt and light, to be flavor in a world that is void of flavor, to be light in a world that is too often shadowy and dark. God, what a great task to have, because that is well within our power. You bring the dish, oh God, we'll bring the salt, and we'll look for maybe anything that happens to us can be your miraculous work that we may see at the time, we may see years later, we may not see till our place with you in your future kingdom, but help us to claim our place now as we seek to live out praying and living as we were taught, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen."